B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you raise.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So again, I assume like all you, the Patriots are done. But then I decided to look at it today and do it scientifically. That's right, Murray, scientifically. And see, are they really out of it? Are they really done? Or do they actually have a legit chance? Is there a path? Is there a path for the Patriots? And I think we determined there is. At least Maz and I did. But let's do this again. And I've given you now a second to think about it. And again, we did this at 2. Normally, I would say go listen to the podcast if you want to hear this segment. But we're going to do it again, damn it, because I just like it so much.
I hope I give the same answer.
don't cross-reference it.
It's always a danger.
Okay, so the division. The division. The Patriots right now, obviously, are 2-5. The Bills lead it at 5-2. And the Dolphins are in the middle at 4-3. Right?
Yeah, I think the Bills are 6-2, but go ahead.
Okay, the Bills are...
Yeah, they're 6-2.
They're 6-2. Sorry, 6-2. Okay, 6-2. Here's the Bills' remaining schedule. Shall we play it with the Bills? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Go.
Okay, 6-2. This Sunday, Seattle.
Loss.
Love it. Next week, at Arizona.
Loss.
Then they have the bye. Then they come home and host the L.A. Chargers.
Win.
Then they travel to San Francisco.
Win.
We'll give them the win. Then they come home and host Pittsburgh.
Loss.
Then on December 19th or 20th, they haven't even picked the day yet. Or maybe they haven't. This is just an old schedule. But
no, the time is TBD. I see the 20th.
Okay, so on the 20th. On December 20th, they travel to Denver.
Win. Loss.
Loss.
I told you, either San Francisco or Denver, they'll lose one of those games.
We're going to give the Bills the loss at Denver in a driving snowstorm. On December 20th, at Mile High with the low oxygen.
Yep. Josh Allen will be sucking wind.
Okay. Then Monday, December 28th, at the Patriots.
Win.
Loss. Okay, here's your path. Then Buffalo returns home. Week 17, hosts Miami.
Win.
I'll give them the win. Feh. Okay, so that's 9-7.
Yep.
Bills, 9-7.
Yep.
Feels low.
3-5 the rest of the way.
Those were not the only reachy game on there. The only reachy game was them losing at Denver.
Yeah, Denver.
Okay, the rest make perfect sense. Okay, so
they're going to come here and stomp the Pats.
9-7. Miami sitting at 4-3. Ready for their schedule?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
Next week at Arizona.
Loss.
Good job. Home LA Chargers.
Win.
Week 11, at Denver.
Win.
Loss.
New people with Denver. The team stinks.
Sunday, November 29th, at the Jets.
Win.
Home Cincinnati on December 6th.
Win.
Loss.
Murray, you are so wrong about the Bengals.
And you are so wrong about the Dolphins. Their defense is going to pick that kid off like 3 times. The Bengals stink.
Do you know
they have the quarterback. That's it.
Do you know that the Bengals, I think, are like one of the best teams in the league this year against the spread? Do you know that?
Ooh, the spread. Ooh.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
What's their win-loss record?
They're getting better.
That's what 2020 has done to this show. It's screwed everything else up. Now this show likes the Bengals.
Mark my words, the Bengals are going to get better as the year ends. The Bengals are pretty good right now. The Bengals are decent, Murray.
Next
game. Absolutely walloped Tennessee last week.
Okay, so after Miami loses at home to Cincinnati on December 6th, they host the Chiefs.
Loss.
Then they host the Patriots on Sunday, December 20th.
Win.
Loss.
They host the game in Miami.
Yes, correct, on the 20th.
You think the Patriots are going to win there?
Yes.
Yeah, Brady doesn't play here anymore.
Yep. Sunday, December 20th, they're at Las Vegas.
Loss.
Then they travel to Buffalo.
Loss.
On week 17, loss. We got Miami
at 6-10.
You know what? I think I had them beating the Patriots this morning at 2 o'clock.
Okay, so
yeah,
look.
You did.
So look.
7-9, yeah.
So look, 6-10, that's a little reachy, okay? So fine. You know what? I'll go back to that Miami, give them the win at Denver, and I'll give them the win versus the Bengals, Murray.
Okay.
8-8. 8-8.
Fine.
8-8.
8-8.
All right, so I got the Bills at 9-7, the Dolphins at 8-8. Patriots.
All right.
This ought to be good.
Now, let's assume they've had no more COVID interruptions, plenty of practice. Newton actually got his head out of his ass a little bit in Buffalo that second half until, again, he coughed the game away. But the offense started to move. Maybe they've hit their bottom, okay? They've hit rock bottom. They started to pull themselves out of it. They will get better. He will get better. And we're creating a path to the division. You ready?
Got it.
You tell me where I'm unrealistic.
Yeah, path.
This week at the Jets.
Win.
Next week, home, Sunday night, Baltimore.
Loss.
Okay.
At Houston, one win, Houston.
Win.
I'll actually change on that. That's a win.
Win. Okay, Murray, there we go. Sunday, November 29th. It's about 23 degrees out. It's raining sideways. There's icicles coming off of Bill Belichick's nose hair. His nipples are hard. And the fancy pants, soft Arizona Cardinals come in here on Sunday, November 29th.
Loss.
Win. You gave the Patriots a win
so
before.
Much more talented.
I did.
You did, Maz, yeah.
Oh. Patriots. Told you, I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Patriots win that game. Next week at the Chargers.
Win.
They're splitting with one of those LA teams, but they win over the Chargers.
Okay, then they go to the Rams on Thursday after staying out there a couple of nights.
Loss.
Then they come in. They're at Miami Sunday, December 20th. We already gave the Patriots the win.
Win.
Then they're home Buffalo Monday, December 28th.
Win.
You already gave them that fake win.
And then they close out the year against the Jets.
Win.
Hmm.
How many is that total? Is that 7 or 8?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9-7 tied with the Bills.
9.
And they win the tiebreaker over the Bills. There's the division. There it is.
Why would they win the tiebreaker?
Because they would have beaten Buffalo. Oh, they would have split with Buffalo. Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you. They split with Buffalo. Then we go to division record. Then we go to the division record. And the Pats would have had only one division loss. And I'm sure I gave Buffalo more than one division loss.
Yeah, so they would win, yeah.
There it is. There's your path. There's your path for the division. It's not that unrealistic. I'm sorry. It's not that unrealistic.
No, mathematically, it's in play. If the Patriots can win one of those between the Ravens, the Cardinals, or the Rams, the top three AFC East teams could all finish around 9-7. They could.
Get to 9 wins, and you are in this thing.
Okay, I had them losing all 3 of those, so you must change the numbers in there somehow.
I might have.
But I will say it's not completely far-fetched.
Can you get through the rest of the schedule with only 2 losses? Okay, Baltimore is one of them. So then and then you run the division. So you call Houston, Arizona, Chargers, Rams. Can you win 3 or 4?
Can you win those back-to-back LA games? And that might be their best chance. So, you know, you have the Chargers who I think stink.
Let me tell you my path. I'm sorry, Murray.
Chance is to split in LA. Split in LA. Beat Arizona.
Arizona at home in a driving rainstorm in 20-degree weather here in Foxborough on November 29th.
I'm trying to help your foolish case here.
Sorry.
So that Thursday night game against the Rams, they could win if you look at the Rams' schedule. Their game prior is in Phoenix against, I think, a good Cardinals team, and the Patriots won't have to travel. They'll already be there because they play the Chargers. So the more rested team in that case is actually the Patriots.
It's not over.
I mean, the Chargers cannot win a game to save their life. They just can't. They still don't know how to win. You change the quarterback, and they just can't figure it out.
They got a knack for blowing it late.
Oh my God. Plus, their offense is passing. So that makes me feel better.
Strength of the Patriots,
yeah,
correct.
Because they can handle teams that can throw. It's teams that can run that'll screw them.
And Goff's a jittery bum, right, Murray?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just telling you, like, play it out. Get a little better. Get on a little bit of a roll. Let Buffalo be Buffalo. Buffalo's already played the Jets twice.
See, I said this earlier, and I do feel
you haven't played them yet.
I do feel that if you look at it and you believe that they were derailed by COVID, that they were playing okay at that time, and they look like a decent team. And so if that set them back, then in theory, they should be getting close to what they were. Now, the second half of Buffalo is better,
And they got to steal a win in there. But I don't think it's dead yet. I believe in playing it out. I don't want to tank. Play it out. Again, if they tanked at 28-3, they wouldn't have won that Super Bowl. That's a microcosm. You know, it's a small picture look, but you get the idea.
I just don't think it's going to take much.
Play it out.
9-7.
Play it out. You should win this week, and you should win relatively easily. But if they lose this week, they're dead.
Win the division. Let me just do this. You win the division, then you're home for the first round of the playoffs. Let's do this, Murray.
Okay.
Okay? And then you'll be you'll be a four seed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the four...
Who they losing to that first week?
So the four is going to play the five. So you'll play the best wild card team, where you'll probably get smoked. So it'll be either right now, Indy or Baltimore.
Oh, so they're either of those teams are going to kill them.
Okay, Indy coming here?
Yeah.
Again, on January 10th now. Now we're in January 10th, and it's like 14 degrees, and Philip Rivers is going to come here and win. Mm-hmm. That dome team is going to come here and win. On wild card weekend when you're hosting them?
Yeah, Phil Rivers in that spot. Okay, I don't trust him, but Indianapolis' defense is pretty damn good. And you can't throw the ball with this bum quarterback.
I think this is on the table. So you win the division, you host a game, you steal that game, and now you're in the divisional round. And you get to then turn around. I can't believe this doesn't appeal to Patriots fans. You get to then turn around and not just show your ass at the rest of the AFC East. You go full frontal. Wave your genitalia in the face of the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills, and you say, you clowns, we suck. We have no quarterback. We had two wins, you know, at the election, and you still can't win the division? You people suck. Like, that doesn't appeal to you? You want to laugh and wave your genitalia in the face of the rest of the division?
You've become Tony Robbins. You really have.
How
you fans spend 5% of the time on the problem. And Felger and Maz, we spend 95% of the time on the solution. Get over it and crush it, Patriots fans.
So I love that story. I have to admit, I was looking something up while you said that. Did you actually jump ahead to the playoffs?
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. Yep. I now have you beating the Colts in the wild card game.
I was looking it up because I remember one year where they went down to play the Jets and we thought they're not very good. And they beat the Jets and walloped them. They ended up winning 8 in a row to end the season. They went 13-3.
No, that was a year when...
2011.
Speaking of waving the genitalia, that's when Bill Belichick walked off the field and in front of a bunch of New York writers said, yeah, best defense in the league, suck my blank. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, that was
2011,
year.
Really?
I think it was 2011, yeah.
It's 2011. They were 5-3, and I thought they were 3-5. They were 5-3.
They beat them 45-3 and then lost them in the playoffs. That was that year,
no,
I think.
No, that was 2010.
But that's the year I thought you were talking about.
No, 2011. They looked very vulnerable. They lost to the Giants. They were 5-3. They went down. They walloped the Jets, and then they won out. They went 13-3.
Okay, so I don't think we're that. But can you be 9-7 and win the division and host a playoff game against the Colts? Bring me the Colts. And then you know what? And then
you've already got the Colts in the playoffs.
Yeah,
now,
I do.
See, now you're losing.
Well, no. I'm saying because as the four seed, you're going to be the worst division winner. So you're the four seed. You play the five seed at home. So right now, the five seed would be Baltimore, but no, it's Baltimore or the Colts. They have the same record. So I'm putting the Colts here, wild card weekend at Gillette. You can win that ball game. Now you're in the divisional round, shaking your genitalia at the rest of the league. We're still the Patriots.
Genitalia.
Whatever. Doesn't that appeal to you as Patriots fans?
Genitalia.
It should.
It's delusional.
Okay. Do you want to be that team, or do you want to just suck and get the highest draft pick possible? It's up to you. Your thoughts right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No. It's always no.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chase Winovich, how does the team turn the year around right now at 2-5? How do you turn it around?
I always say this, but it's just like eating an elephant. I'd say one bite at a time. And you start looking big picture and look at like what's going on around the league and or just around the country in general, it's just stuff becomes overwhelming. And I think for us, like, it really just starts with a great performance against the Jets and just locking in to practice this week and do our assignments and making sure we're ready to go. You never know when that opportunity is going to, you know, knock. And I guess we do this week, and that happens to be on Monday Night Football. So, you know, a lot to be excited about and looking forward to the opportunity.
Chase Winovich. What was that? It's like eating an elephant?
Yeah, one bite at a time.
There you go. One bite at a time.
It's just like eating an elephant.
There you go.
Clever guy.
Yeah. He likes himself, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, big time.
I don't know how Bill feels about him, but I do want to get to him here in a second. But to your phones, as promised, you've been waiting patiently. John in Connecticut, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so, Felger, I'm usually with you, and I'd love to just shake my genitalia at any person out there, just as any other, you know, red-blooded male.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think Bill took that away from us when he opened up his mouth this week, because he essentially told us that his team sucks right now. So how can he go back to his team and tell them, hey, guys, rah, 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 let's get this W, when you just said, well, we blow because I screwed up the cap?
John, it's a really nice point. Hopefully his players don't watch or listen or read.
I mean,
because he basically did tell the world that, yeah, we suck.
Yeah, I think it started with the Charlie Weiss thing. I mean, obviously, and even if you remember that morning, Burt Breer said he had spoken with teams that said the Patriots have made it known that they're willing to listen on everybody. Well, if you're willing to listen on everybody, you must not think you're very good. So I do worry that, again, I go back to the San Francisco game, that after that San Francisco game, Bill threw his hands up and went, all right, we got to start over. Start over. You know, we're way behind. You know, and he emotionally just disconnected and accepted the fact that they were going to go, you know, just let's say 4-12. Now, do I think he's going to coach it that way? No. But I think he lowered his expectations for the season and the team, and I hope that has changed back.
John in Brockton on our Tom Brady conversation. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. So I will be quick because I know how you guys are. But I know Maz always says players relate to players, and earlier this morning on Tucker and Rich, Keith Lee was on. He said one of the first people to reach out to him was Tom Brady. And then, like, I remember hearing a story last year with Sanu saying Tom Brady reached out to him. Do you guys think by any chance Belichick didn't realize, like, the impact losing Brady would have on the chemistry of the team?
Yes.
The leadership?
Yes. I think a lot of us, in this thing, in terms of being able to draw players, I think Bill may have underestimated it. I may have underestimated it. But then again, I don't think the Pats, I don't think we know yet. Okay, I'll say it to you like that. It's because it's not like the Pats tried to go and get anybody. They're not spending any money. They're clearly in cost-cutting, saving mode for whatever reason. So I don't know who they were necessarily pursuing.
Was he trying to make the case there that the chemistry sucks because Brady's not here now?
Yeah, or that, you know, Brady reached out to Tlaib to go to Tampa. I assume that's what that meant. He reached out to Ndamukong Suh to go to Tampa.
But the reality is it started a sour last year when they finished 5-4 in their last 9 games. Like, and Brady was here. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, it might affect some of the veterans maybe, but I don't think that's why they're so bad. They're bad because the roster stinks.
Yeah, I just think that when you get right down to it, the biggest asset they had in Brady was his buy-in. They had his buy-in, and so everyone else could believe in it because Brady believed in it. And so Brady was an easy guy to line up behind as a player. They don't have that now.
I thought he was talking about building, you know, team building.
Well,
drawing players.
He might be. He might be. I mean, but I think it's sort of all part and parcel that I think a player looks at Brady and says, we got him, we're good. And now he's not there. And so it's a player looks at New England and says, Brady's there, I'll go. And I think it's all from the same thing, that Brady had this draw about him or this, you know, the fact that he bought in and Bill had Brady in led all the other guys in.
We have Steve in the car. He joins us. Steve in the car and Antonio Brown. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
Yeah, Mike and guys, you know, I'm very disappointed in Brady as far as his decision with Antonio Brown. When they first brought him here, I did not know his background. But when you look at it now, I mean, come on, the Sports Illustrated article, I implore every Patriots fan to read that because he still has, you know, the fact that he has an accused of sexual assault, what he did to the girl who was painting a mural, and he is like up there with Zeke Moat. he's beyond Zeke Moat.
So I don't believe Zeke Moat. It was Lisa Olsen here in the locker room. No, so he's comparable with Zeke Moat. Yeah. I, for some reason, I was thinking like Dave Meggett, who was. No, that was a whole nother situation. Look, Brown stuff is bad, and I think he's a cretin, like, you know, dirtbag. But
I put him on the level of Greg Hardy.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if his offenses are in that league, right? If Greg Hardy's in the league, or, you know, other guys are in the league, Antonio Brown should be in the league. I don't think he's, you know, should be without a job. I'll put it to you like that. But the fact that Brady is surrounded by all this great talent and has everything going for him down there feels need to add this guy. Never mind the Tony Robbins stuff. I still think it reflects poorly on Brady.
He's obsessed with this guy.
Seriously.
And it's got purely to do with his talent. 100%. He just loves the fact that he's got someone who can get open all the time and he can get the ball to. That's it. It's all born out of that. The rest of it is bull crap.
The abuse of women, horrible, like on the list. But I don't know why people don't bring up more of what happened in Oakland. And they were Oakland at the time, right? That was the last year in Oakland where he... You know, he refuses to report, refuses to play, basically. He has that Fakakta thing where he burns his feet on the cryogenic treatment or whatever, and then they want him to play. He goes out there. He gets into a wrestling match or threatens to beat up his GM, calls him a white cracker and all that. Like, I can't believe Bill brought him in after that. You know, blatant insubordination. Not just insubordination, but, you know, threats of violence to his boss, his coach, his GM, and then you bring him right in and give him $15 million. That was gross what the Pats did last year. I don't know why more people don't do that. Like, Bruce Arians, just get your back of your fellow coaches and executives in the league. Like, you're going to reward a player for doing that?
I know. Since when does Bill care about anybody else, though?
That's
when you're talking about other coaches. At the end of the day, don't you think he did it for Brady?
Of course he did. Of course he did it for Brady.
I mean, so to me, the common denominator is Brady.
So this
they probably had to do it to pacify Brady.
Well, when I asked this before, should the Pats be the Buccaneers? Because, again, Brady down there is responsible for a first-round pick rookie right tackle, the Gronkowski, the tight end, Antonio Brown, the receiver, Fournette, McCoy, maybe Ndamukong Suh, you know, for all we know. He's responsible for, like, building that team. Should they have done that here? And my answer is no, because I think they tried. That's why Antonio Brown was here. That's why they gave up a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. They were trying to cater to him. And I just think you're asking for trouble when you do that.
And there's a happy medium, though, somewhere in there, Mike. Like, again, Tampa Bay has Mike Evans, Godwin. They brought Gronk down there, too. They already had Brate. They had O.J. Howard. Like, so at least there were weapons there. He had nothing here. My only point with Brady in Tampa, because I don't like the Antonio Brown thing either. My only point with Brady in Tampa is you're going to bring in a 43-year-old quarterback on a two-year deal, and you're not going to put weapons around him?
Well, he has weapons around him.
Okay, but
you need an all-star team around him?
No, but the way you were presenting it was, let's, you know, I want him to elevate the guys. Why put guys around him? You know, you don't need to put stars around him. Well, he still need players.
Okay, they had him.
Yeah, exactly.
So all they've brought there are his little pet projects, because they did not need a tight end, but they wanted Brady's pet. And they did not, God knows, need a receiver, but they wanted to bring in Brady and T-Rob, or what did he call him? Tony Robbs?
Yeah, T-Robbs.
T-Robbs, you know, project. So they're just catering to the system. It's like the NBA. It's like letting LeBron's entourage,
totally,
you know, be the travel party.
Yeah, I was fine with it until Antonio Brown. Because I don't feel like there was real much risk in any of the guys they brought in except for this guy.
One more segment of your wonderful phone calls right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger Mass. Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Publicly, both Bill Belichick and Steve Belichick have complimented you this week and have said that you're doing a good job. Is that the same feedback you're getting in private?
Yeah, it's a game plan thing. Like I said, the last 3 weeks, I was a little curious. you know, and I can't talk about it publicly, I don't think, right. But I just obviously gotta be better and do what I can to help the team win. And if they don't feel like I'm that person, then, you know, that's okay. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't change my approach. I've been taking this whole thing as if I was who they thought I was when they drafted me, since, you know, they believed in me more than anybody else, you know, how would I respond? How would I work? And so I'm just, you know, I've shared this on social media. I'm just trying to lean in and, you know, whatever I have to do, you know, whatever I have to bring to the table, you know, try to help and get back out on the field and help the boys win. You know, that's what I signed up for. That's what I get paid to do, and that's what I'm going to try.
I teased this a couple different times. I just want to touch on it. Chase Winovich with Bertrand and Zolak this morning does that every week. You know, when some people wonder if it's that interview, among other things, that have help land Winovich in Belichick's doghouse. Because I think Winovich has a pretty high opinion of himself and a high profile for a young player, which I don't think Bill's that into. Man, maybe he also, as you alluded to off your Apple Watch, he did that deal. It's sponsored, right? And he did that deal sort of outside the team or not really with the blessing of the team, and that sort of rubbed him the wrong way. And he hasn't defended the run very well. So Bill, the last 3 weeks, has buried him. He's buried this kid.
Played, what, five snaps on Sunday?
Five defensive snaps. And he was looking like one of your better defensive players in the first couple weeks.
Sure was.
And so, but the way he talks about himself, like he's an 8-time Pro Bowler.
Yep.
Who, like, dude, you just got here. You're a kid. Why don't you zip it on that?
Because he's used to getting a lot of attention because of the hair.
I'm convinced of this too. It's because of the hair.
It's the blonde flowing locks. Right. He looks like Chase Matthews Jr. For crying out loud.
Clay Matthews.
Well, what did I say?
Clay.
Chase.
You said Chase. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Clay.
So I just think it's, you know, he's always gotten this attention, and now all of a sudden he's a part-time player. The other thing is, if you listen to the beginning of the answer, you know, like if they think I'm not right for the game plan, I mean, you know, I'll just, you know, keep what I'm doing. Wrong answer.
Right, exactly.
Wrong answer. Learn to do the stuff that will get you into the game plan.
Stuff the run.
Right. Like, so I just think that, I don't know, I wonder if he's a little out there.
Oh, I don't think look,
he doesn't get it.
I don't think he quite gets it. I think he's been told, my guess, no idea, but just by the way, you know, listen to these interviews, he's been told to put a sock in it, you know, shut the F up, but he still is doing it because it's a sponsored deal and he's still going to go ahead and do it, but he doesn't want to say anything. But the more he talks, the less he's not doing himself any favors. You know, I play this other cut. That was a follow-up question from Beadle.
I know which one you're going to play.
The first question was, again, about his playing time. And, you know, I guess it's not in the game plan that, you know, they were going with, you know, nickelbacks and dimebacks and so less linebackers. And that was part of the game plan. And so here was his first answer on it.
To be honest, sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan. But, you know, in terms of, you know, what goes into it and in the snap count.
So stop. It's like.
That's the line of every multi-player in history.
Yep.
So it's like either one of two things. It's like, I don't get what these jackasses are doing.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't I out there? Or it's literally, I don't really understand what they're asking me to do.
He ain't that guy, though.
I don't think he's the second thing. I don't think he's dumb.
He's got a high opinion of himself, but he's a smart kid.
Okay.
So it's that
feels
first
that
thing.
Way.
It's
the
first when
thing.
The snap numbers go down, you're asked that question, you say, oh, I don't know. I don't know what the game plan is.
And to be fair, I guess I could play the question, but the question was framed, do you think you've fallen out of favor, or is it a game plan thing? He was specifically asked about the game plans, I think. And so his answer was, well, what I think he meant to do was, well, it's not my job to tell you about the game plan. I don't know the game plan. It's not my role. I just do what they tell me to do. That's what he was trying to say, I think. But the way it comes out, because again, I think the kid thinks he's Clay Matthews. Exactly right.
Oh, definitely.
Was it the interview last week? He was talking about himself. He's a Viking warrior.
Yeah.
Like,
listen, Samson, we're cutting the hair.
Like, dude.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, so, what the veterans on that team should do, and they would have if they had had like a full preseason, to shave his head.
With a ball gag. But so anyway, I mean, just play that answer again, Jimmy.
To be honest, sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan, but, you know, in terms of, you know, what goes into it and in the snap count and all that stuff. But that is what it is. And, you know, the past 3 weeks have been a challenge for sure. But you know, it's easy making plays for me. It's just it's tougher to to kind of be idle while that goes on. But at the end of the day, it's like this is a great opportunity. It's a new week, and just to be able to go out there and practice with my teammates and try to to do what I can to help us win. I'm excited for it. I really am.
This guy thinks he's Joey Bosa.
He does. Yeah, he really does.
The young Javon curse.
There's no question about it.
Seriously. Making plays for me is the easy part.
Yeah.
Being told I can't because of the game plan, that's the hard part. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, no, I don't understand the game plan thing. Like, what goes into it in the snap counts? I mean, who wouldn't want me out there? That's what it comes off as. It does. When you play, I mean, why wouldn't you want me out there?
Not a good one.
I rock. Like, I am the balls, man. Just look at me. Look at my hair. Now I am King crap.
Tut. Yeah, I'm King Tut.
And so it's not a good look, and he sounds like kind of a dope, but to his credit, he played 5 snaps. He's still this team's sack leader.
I mean, so there,
he should be out there.
So here's the balance, right? So half of me says, this kid doesn't get it, and you know what? Bury him. Go ahead. Teach him a lesson. Teach him how to be, right? Because he doesn't know how to be. But the other half of me says is, Bill, you freaking blow. He's one of the few kids out there that can make plays. So, you know, why don't you just put a sock in your, you know, Mr. Field General, it's my way or the highway crap, and play the kid because you have no one out there who's making any plays.
This is sort of Teddy Bruschi's point, right?
I'm sort of caught between, in a normal year, normal times, I'd look at this kid and go, dude, take a seat, shut your pie hole, and get back to me when you realize, you know, what you are and who you are. But they have no players. So now I'm sort of wondering, Bill, just you let it go a little bit. Let the kid run around and make some plays.
He does. He's going to have to soften and lower his standards a little bit. I mean, how could you not want Chase Winovich out on the field? I mean,
really, that answer. Just play it one more time.
This
guy loves himself.
It's like, you know, the snap count thing. I mean, like, really. This guy, who wouldn't want me out there?
He thinks he's freaking Lawrence Taylor.
He does.
To be honest, sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan. But, you know, in terms of, you know, what goes into it and in the snap count and all that stuff. But that is what it is. And, you know, the past 3 weeks have been a challenge for
Who
sure.
Cares?
But you know, it's easy making plays for me. It's just, it's tougher to, you know, to kind of be idle while that goes on. But
all right, that's enough. I mean, seriously,
dude, I'm a playmaker, man. I mean, I'm a playmaker.
Put me out there and let me go.
Seriously, what? That part of the job's easy for me, dude. I mean,
was he a 5th round pick? When was he drafted?
I think he was a third
rounder.
Yeah, but I'm a playmaker.
And I hate to break it to you too. Michigan sucks. They blow. You weren't good. You weren't good in college. You're a fringy player now.
I don't really understand the game plan sometimes. Like, I really wonder what that jackass is thinking. How could he not want me out there, man? I mean, look at me. Look at my hair. I rock, dude. I rock. Cut me loose, bro. Let me play.
So, like I said, I also think, again, he's trying to toe the line, do the interview, but not get himself in trouble. And I think he makes it worse for himself every week.
Okay, so there was partway into that interview, I was listening to him go, oh, boy, they've removed part of his brain since the last time he was on. They clearly went in there and performed surgery. Then he kept going, and I went, whoa. Like, maybe not. This guy can't help himself.
Right, that's what I don't get. So when he was asked the conspiracy theory questions by Hardy, he was all buttoned up. And it's like, oh, they snipped him. But you listen to the rest of it, they're like, no, they haven't.
No, wait till he shows up the next time.
Oh,
Belichick's going to have his lieutenants go out there and drag him into his office by his hair. They are going to haul him down the hallway and say, listen up, stupid. We make the game plan. You play when we tell you to play. And when anyone asks you about it, you say, I'm just here to learn and get better. That's it. Shut up. Wow. I don't really get the game plan, man. Sometimes that makes no sense to me. Why wouldn't they want me? Look at me, dude.
I mean, look at me.
You think I have hair on my head? You should see me when I pull my pants down, dude. Aren't you the cat's ass? Wow.
Matt in Lindenburg on Winovich. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, the whole thing with Chase Winovich is similar to winning. Bill Belichick benched Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. It's just Bill and his big ego waving his genie tiles at the rest of the team.
Okay, but, I mean, this one's a little justified. If things were better, if the team were better, and these were normal circumstances, I'd be all with Bill. Bury this kid. Shut him the hell up. Like, someone's got to teach him. Again, you got to teach him how to be a pro and a patriot, because he does not get it. And I would be all in favor of this. It's a problem when you have no talent on the field, and he's one of the few guys that can make a play.
Yes. I mean, really, this is, again, I said, this is kind of what Teddy Bruschi was getting at. I think we played the cut, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Where he said, look,
Bill can't be the same miserable SOB.
Right, and so I think you have to coach a team like this differently. You got to sort of loosen the reins a little and extend the boundaries. And say, hey, look, I'm going to play you, but you got to work on this or I'm going to take you out. There's got to be a softer approach. Otherwise, you know, you're going to end up with Adrian Phillips playing linebacker looking like road pizza at the end of week 11.
And meanwhile, this guy's on the sidelines flipping his hair like, well, I just don't get what they don't see in me.
Oh, my God.
Aren't I beautiful?
I don't get the game plan, man. It doesn't make sense to me.
Dan in the car. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Felga. Going back to what you were talking about earlier with the playoffs. I mean, you're right. You think Philly Rivers is coming into Foxborough and beating us? I mean, even Big Ben, that Steelers team, are we fully convinced on that?
Let's keep it on planet Earth, okay? You know, the teams that are clearly better than you, let's not put that in the win column, shall we, Dan? Let's keep it realistic,
fair
okay?
Enough.
Okay, thank you. Fair enough. Phil Rivers and the Colts, if they're the playoff opponent here, right now they're the 5 seed. Right now, the Colts are tied with the Ravens for the 5 seed. I don't know what the tiebreakers look like, but it could be the Colts. If you're the 4 seed, you play the 5. If the Colts are the 5, you're home. Wild card weekend, if you eke out this division, you don't think you can beat the Colts at home in the playoffs?
I think you can beat Phillip Rivers.
Thank you.
Sure.
Well, that's the Colts.
Yeah. I just think that the Colts have a good offensive line. If Frank Reich has a brain, he'll just run the Patriots over.
I mean, this is a little silly to handicap a game that's not going to happen, but this is just, I'm telling you, that to me is the goal. Eke out the division at 9-7, host a playoff game against an opponent that you might have a crack at, pull one out of your keister where everyone looks and says, there's Belichick, he's back, and there are the Patriots. Shake your genitalia at the rest of the division. You still can't, we're still here, and you couldn't knock us off even this year. And then you're still yourself, and you're picking 19, you're not picking 9, but still, Bill has to pick better no matter where he's at, and you're still yourself, and to me, that's the goal. That's the goal this season.
I don't think they're dead yet. I don't. I mean, they're close. They're close. But I don't think they're dead yet. And they can play themselves back into this thing if they get their head screwed on.
And we're
beating Pittsburgh? No shot.
We're still waiting for votes in Maricopa County, Murray. I'm going to look at this board as long as it takes to pull them out.
You think Patriots fans are remotely annoyed now? Wait if Pittsburgh goes 16-0. Wait if that happens.
Oh, I'm almost rooting for that now just to hear that.
That's in play. That's in play.
Given that schedule, that could happen.
They have one game left where they're not favored.
Maybe we'll pick that up tomorrow on Agenda Free Friday.
I might lead with it.
Coming up next, though, is the final word.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adult is talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope.
Do you want the sound first, or do you want to get the email today?
No, do your sound first. Go ahead.
All right. Well, we discussed Antonio Brown. He had his first little presser yesterday down in Tampa and was thanking Tony Robbins, who helped him or gave him Valium or something. But we made fun of Tony Robbins, and here's how that sounded.
Antonio Brown in this, like, I'm going to save his life kind of business, and the Tony Robbins thing, glorified two-bit televangelist self-help, you know, toolbox.
Okay, desperate and stupid.
Thank you. So you're either desperate and stupid, and I'm focusing on that second thing, or you know it's a scam, and you want to get in on it and scam other people. So which one is Brady?
Which one is Brady?
I think he might be both.
I mean, does he really believe in the Tony Robbins thing?
Oh, he might.
People fall for this crap all the time, but that makes you a mark. It makes you a sucker.
Yep.
Okay? And but McCartney and those guys, they were suckers, and they realized it at some point. But you're either a sucker or you're in on the scam. It's one or the other.
Well, Brady might be both.
I think he might be both.
He is. I'm telling you. I think he buys into the bull crap and then he goes, ooh, I can make money off them.
Just parrot everything I say, Antonio.
Seriously.
There's a powerful driving force inside you. And every person that once unleashed can make any vision, dream, or desire a reality. And I'm going to suck you in with my loud voice and animated hand gestures with my banana fingers. That's how I'm going to get you.
But Tony Robbins. He does a very good Tony Robbins.
Oh, it's great.
Don't find fault. Find a remedy. Just make sure you follow my giant hands and watermelon-shaped head. All management is the management of promises.
My banana fingers.
Seriously, look at the size of his hands. Google search him. Take a good image search.
Take a good look at the size of his head.
Yeah.
His head is gigantic. It's huge.
I have more teeth than the average human.
It's like a freaking pumpkin on his head. It's gigantic.
Okay, let me do the email
today. He's like 6'7" or something,
yeah,
isn't he?
Ahead.
He's a freak.
Do it.
Tony.
It's the Mindcast.
Let fear be a counselor, not a jailer.
Seriously, the guy's a mutant. He's just, something's wrong there.
Jimmy, get to the email of the day.
It's the Mindcast email of the day.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Yeah.
And I think Mez is a boo.
I don't like money either.
The Mindcast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email of the day is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast. That's M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. What's so funny?
Are you still laughing at the size of my head and my giant hands and the fact that I look like I've taken HGH since I was 5 years old?
So true. Anyway. Email is subject line, Pat's Road to Victory, ? Hey, Mike, we're living in some funny times. On one screen, I'm watching the unfolding madness of the election count, and on another, we have the 98.5 The Sports Hub simulcast. I'm listening to you map out the slim road the Patriots might have to win the division, and on the other, I'm watching campaigns try and strain to figure out their map on their narrow path to victory. My take, Cam and company will fumble and punt their way to 7-9 to lose the division. Best, Samantha in Providence. P.S. Quit slouching over those mics. It's bad for you. Love you, mean it.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Yeah, me too. It's sort of, it's like...
Yeah, you have to. It's as high as they go, really.
Well, no, I don't want to sit low because I feel like...
Yeah,
not a little dude, you know? Like, I want to sit up high. But then if you bring the thing up high, it covers your face. I don't know. It's just, there's a little of a... It's a cross between
them. Ever since I came into the hot box of hot takes, I haven't had the neck issues I normally have.
Seriously?
Because I'm always hunched. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, that mic, because that mic is set up higher.
Yeah.
Coming right at me.
Yeah.
That's the way we got to do it in here.
So you suggested this for simulcast reasons because there's nothing blocking your face,
exactly.
Your pretty face, but
know,
it does
it
lead to a slouch.
I know. That's why sometimes I like go out and sit on the front of the seat, so I'm a little
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.